Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. How many Rolls Royces have you driven?
One.
Which model?
A Wraith.
Oh, interesting. When was that?
A few years ago.
Okay, when it was new or it was a
when
used
it was
example?
Newer, yeah, yeah.
Okay, what were your thoughts? Bigger question.
Well, I nearly bought one.
Oh.
No, I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you.
No,
because I like was going to just like have it to waft around and then like, what's the point? So I went and I actually, one of the few cars that I actually, instead of just going, yeah, I'll have it.
Which is your usual mentality.
I actually went and drove it.
Ah, okay. You actually did a test drive. Allow customers to do.
No. They don't need to drive my cars. They're perfect.
But some dodgy Rolls Royce Wraith. Well, I've got to check that out.
It was in Birmingham. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. But yeah, beautiful.
What were your expectations prior to the driving experience?
Well, I thought, well, it's just going to be like a coupe Range Rover. Basically.
Interesting. You didn't think it would be more than that?
Until I drove it. And I thought, oh no, this is another level.
But hold on a sec, because that was your first Rolls-Royce driving experience.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Maybe not. Back in the day, I think I drove an old Phantom. Phantom.
Phantom. You drove or stole?
No, I drove it.
Okay, you drove an old Phantom.
We didn't all go to school in them like you. So we had to try and duck and dive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you drove a Phantom 7, the sort of, I would call it the Simon Cowell Phantom, the big boxy one.
Yeah, but.
But it obviously wasn't very memorable.
No, it wasn't, no. It wasn't my car. It was when I was valeting.
Oh, okay.
It was a long, long time ago. I'm pretty sure it was a Phantom.
Phantom. PH.
Yeah.
Phantom.
It would have been like
2000s.
Mid 2000s ish.
Yeah. When did that car come out? 2006 or earlier?
Yeah.
Earlier, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, well, what I was picking up on is I was surprised that your expectations were low going in, right? Because you are saying you went into the race being like, oh, this is going to be a Range Rover Coupe. But it's a bloody Rolls Royce. Would you have not gone and been like, this is surely going to be fairly spectacular.
But initially I thought, oh, like, that's just a pretty cool car to just knob around in. You know what it was? It was the days when I was giving it the big and buying supercars.
When you had like 15 cars.
Yeah.
You're on Instagram every week. Ladies and gentlemen, who's got a 2RS? I'll send the money tomorrow.
We done that, remember?
Yeah, I had to send in some big muscles, Mikey Big Muscles, to get that money back. Well, that was an interesting time, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It's a story for another episode.
So it was then, as in, it was around that time, so it would have been like 2018, 2019.
No, earlier than that, mate. Oh, no, you're right. You're right, 2018, 2019. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so you thought, screw it, I've got all the supercars, let's buy something comfortable, I'll go buy a Wraith. And so you went, you had, I'm going to say low expectations if you think it's going to be a Range Rover, because this is a Rolls Royce, theoretically the epitome of luxury, quality, premium automotive manufacturing, etc.
Yeah.
So you went in with that and then it blew you away?
Yeah.
What blew you away? How can you, because this is something that I really want to get into, what made that driving experience different or better than you were expecting
it
to be?
No, not the driving experience.
Oh.
Not the experience of driving it. Apart from the fact that, like, you didn't even know it was switched on. You couldn't hear a thing. It was like, think of Bentley times 10.
Well, let's make it more accessible for the people. Think of a Skoda Superb times
4 million.
Yeah. But no, what's like a really accessible luxury car? Not that it doesn't really exist, but do you know what I mean? Like, what's like an everyman?
An E-Class.
Yeah, there you go. A used E-Class. Yeah, yeah, there we go. A good E-Class.
Times like lots and lots and lots and lots and lots.
Mm-hmm. So what did you pick up when you stepped inside and you went,
oh. My real big takeaways from it were, one, there's no other car that made me have this feeling apart from Ferrari, like this real special, this is a proper thing.
Yeah,
I wasn't that blown away by the tech inside.
Sure.
Because back then it was like old 7 Series BMW and it showed and it tell, and you could tell. But like the finish, mate, like the comfort of the seats, the carpets, the, you know, the just the attention to detail around the whole car made me think, oh, this is another level. As in, and that would be right. I mean, there isn't really anything that captures the mind like a Rolls Royce sitting inside.
So we are going to disagree here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, this conversation is happening because I've just spent the last 36 hours, the first 36 hours of a 72-hour loan in the Rolls-Royce Spectre, the first all-electric Rolls-Royce. Me and Tony just went to check out the car, looked around it. We talked about it, did some stuff for the main channel video. We're going to be getting into that experience, or my experience so far with the car, in a second. But prior to my Spectre experience, I have often felt stepping into a Rolls-Royce, I've often initially been a bit underwhelmed.
Really?
Bear with me here.
Mm.
Yes, lots of leather, often doors that open in funky ways, and that's exciting. And yes, buttons to close them so you haven't got to reach out and grab them. But then a lot of the touch points I have felt have been letdowns, especially in the more modern cars. So you take Phantom 8, which is the most recent version. There is a facelift, but Phantom 8, Cullinan, Ghost Black Badge, etc., etc. You've got all of this, you know, insane price point, you know, the most sort of desirable luxury car, you know, the brand value, all of these things. And then these slightly cheap plasticky buttons for your heated seats. Yeah. And even the dials and things like that just didn't have this premium feel. Whereas if you get into a Bentley Flying Spur, heck, even some Mercedes products, definitely a Bugatti, which I'm talking about brand value-wise is the same echelon. They're knurled metal feel, they're cold to the touch. I mean, heck, even Alfa Giulia Quadrifoglio's paddles feel more premium than some of the switchgear in a Rolls-Royce. So I would always step inside and be like, yeah, okay, like, cool, but...
But maybe I'm talking from an experience that was 6 years ago and we live in a different world now.
Well, no, I mean,
do you remember it having that same feeling?
100%, that's okay, what I mean, fine. Up until now. I mean, my first, Phantom 8, that launch must have been 2017, 2018, something of a similar era. And that was my first new product from Rolls-Royce sort of experience. And I got in it being like,
Did you have that same feeling with the Cullinan? Because I've not driven the Cullinan, but I've been in it.
So it's purely... very first time I stepped into these cars, and potentially because my expectations were so high, because I would say, and I just mentioned it there, I agree with you. I think Ferrari, Rolls-Royce and Bugatti are brands that are more than their products. You know what I mean? Like they're
more than just a car, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like they've operated for close to 100 years or over 100 years in different times. You know, they're
heritage and history.
They don't need PR and promotion. Yeah, the cars sell themselves. Yeah. They, you know, their desirabilities, the collectors, all these different things like that. So approaching a Rolls-Royce, it's not something that happens every single day. And I think my expectations were so high and are so high because I'm like, these cars cost hundreds of thousands of pounds, often more than an average house price in this country. They're super exclusive. You know, some of them have 50, 60, 70, 100,000 pounds worth of options on them. And I get in and I go, oh yeah, but that's a cheap plastic button. Like, what's
but
that
you
about?
You could say that, mate, about most Ferraris.
Absolutely, but Ferraris aren't claiming to be the epitome of luxury and exclusivity.
No, although so, they're trying to go that way now.
Sort of, yeah. But as I say, there were other cars, Bentleys, some Mercedes, heck, even some Audi, things like that, where I saw what felt like more attention to detail to some of those
Fair
things.
Enough. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then, yes, you turn the engine on, you start driving, and it is like no other automotive experience.
Yeah.
The way a Rolls-Royce glides down the road, the silence, the calming effect. You just feel chill. You're like, yeah. It's not a car that you ever want to thrash.
No.
You just want to waft away and be very smooth all the time and smooth steering input. Smooth
you don't even care about driving it,
you
actually.
You don't care. No. You just, you know, your mind's just on whatever it needs to be and you've got your music going. And it used to be that sort of cliche of ostenticity. Being ostentatious, driving a Rolls Royce. But I actually think it's kind of surpassed that now. And people go, oh, look, cool, Rolls Royce.
And I think I remember, and I think I can see into the future, actually, because I remember driving that car back then and thinking, flipping hell, this would be good if it was electric. And right. I've said that a few times ever since. And actually, I think it's the perfect brand and the perfect car to be electric.
Well, perfect segue into, yes, the Spectre, because...
I've done it on purpose, mate, by the way.
Thank you, well done. Because you're right, because everything I was just saying, you know, this kind of desire to waft in silence, to be comfortable, it's not about performance. Yes, in elements, it's about power, but all the things that are often a negative association with an EV actually suits a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
It's already heavy, it's already big. Yep. You want the quietness. You want all of these different elements, low down torque. You know, all of those big V12 engines are engineered to have their torque available from like 1,000 RPMs. So that it's super easy to pull away from junctions and be smooth, all these different things like that. So, yeah, the premise of the Spectre, I think, was exciting just on paper.
Yeah.
You've now seen one in the flesh. Actually, the second time you've seen it, because we saw that one in Australia.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, in the dealership. So what are your thoughts... visually, like we just did a little tour of the car together now.
Well, it's the biggest thing I've ever seen.
It's huge, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't fit in a car parking space.
No. So I think when it first launched, everyone assumed it was like a Wraith replacement. It supposedly sits somewhere in between Cullinan and Phantom. And in Rolls-Royce's mind, it's more of a spiritual successor to the Phantom Coupe. So that's where they're sort of positioning it in brand.
Mm.
Size-wise, it's only a tiny bit narrower than a Cullinan. It's longer than a Cullinan. It's wider and longer than a Ghost. It's only a tiny bit smaller than a Phantom. I mean, it's one of the biggest cars for sale in Europe. It's outrageous. And it's a 2+2 coupe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge, yeah. It's very big.
But that's quite cool.
Yeah, until you've got to park it.
Do Rolls Royce owners park their cars?
They'd probably get someone else to do it.
Yeah.
But it's just valet.
Exactly.
It's just valet. They don't park in spaces. They go to hotels. Yeah. Just park my car, please, sir.
Literally.
But looking at them wheels, mate, you wouldn't want a valet driving that.
23-inch wheels.
Yeah.
They've got, on the car that I'm driving, a bit of a BMW Alpina design vibe, I think. But they're chrome.
Chrome.
23-inch chrome wheels.
Yeah.
Housing huge brakes. Regen brakes. I mean, but it's great. I mean, it fits with the styling. They apparently did look at having smaller wheels on there, 21 inches, and they said the car just then looked oversized. So you had to have the big wheels to kind of, you know, cope with the massive... Yeah, in proportion, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like having a really, really big bloke with little hands.
All right.
Or a really, reference. Really big bloke with little, you know what?
Feet. So yeah, the thing is massive, but they've done lots of interesting design elements. The bonnet slopes down much more than you would realize. It's got some curvature to it, so when you're actually sitting behind the wheel, it does feel like the sort of bonnet dips down towards the road rather than being this sort of overstretched out long table, which is what you
can
get
you see
in the
actual
Phantom. Sorry,
can you see to the end of the bonnet?
You can see the Spirit Ecstasy.
Yeah.
So no, you got a good view from the driving position, good visibility, good maneuverability.
Four-wheel steer?
Four-wheel steer, of course. Very aggressive four-wheel steer. Active grille. So unlike a lot of EVs that cover up the grille because they say they don't need it, this one still diverts air to help cooling with all the battery and the components going on underneath, because yeah, it's a heavy old car. It's a big car. It's a heavy car. It's nearly 3 tons. So whilst it still has like 570 odd horsepower, 900 newton meters of torque, you know, you need all that to get the car moving. And you've got good range.
I mean, the cooling for the brakes must be through the roof.
Yeah. And the brakes are super clever.
Yeah.
It's one of the best regen brake systems that I've experienced on an EV. It's all just super smooth, kind of super second nature. You haven't got to really think about it. It just kind of all works. The single pedal driving is really easy, or just the sort of more natural coast setting feels very normal.
Is that BMW tech or is that their own?
Well, it's BMW tech refined.
Okay.
So what I think they've done, what I really picked up on, is that obviously they've taken a lot of details from other EVs and, you know, obviously partners like BMW, but they have stuck true to their guns and they have made a Rolls-Royce, which happens to be an EV mm-hmm. rather than an EV with a Rolls-Royce badge.
Yeah, okay, fine.
It feels nearly identical to any other modern day Rolls-Royce, if not a tad better. Like the electric powertrain suits that car so yeah. well because you can take advantage of those things like yeah. regen braking, like the smoothness, like the silence. Like it's, mate, it's been a delight. Yeah. I mean, 36 hours, it has been blissful.
Yeah.
So still got a couple more days to go.
Any negatives?
I guess the size, the cost.
We can't help the size, as in...
You could make it smaller.
But... Well, then what would it be then?
A Wraith.
But it's not a Wraith. It's a new car.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is they could have made it smaller. Theoretically, could have made it smaller. It's just too big. Like for this country, it is arguably a bit too big. You know, I had to catch up with the team last night and they were like, but don't you feel it shrinks around you? I was like, no. Like,
it doesn't. No, it's massive.
It's massive. There's no getting around. It is massive. I took it to some, you know, country towns yesterday. Couldn't park anywhere. Well, I could park, but it was obnoxious and hard to park. Everyone watches because you're in a bright purple Rolls Royce.
Exactly. And you could have had a bit more of a subtle colour.
The minute you get on a country lane, it's just quite terrifying. And it's hard to know exactly where to place it because you don't get much feedback through the steering wheel.
I bet you don't.
Which is the whole point, you know. You don't want a lot of feedback on a Rolls Royce. Yeah. It wants to be calm and smooth. So you're often slightly in the middle of the road. And so, you know, the size is potentially not an issue, but a consideration. The price... say £330,000 starting point, easily 400, maybe even creeping towards 500 grand if you go nuts on the options. And all I would say, this is a very weird one, the adaptive cruise control is a bit glitchy.
In terms of what you mean?
On the motorway, it would catch up with the car and then automatically drop its setting from 70 to like 50 or 40. And I'd have to pump it back up again.
Really?
Speed limit wouldn't change, but I'd be driving and it would catch up with the car and then it would drop its setting. And I was like, I don't think that's how adaptive cruise control...
Wouldn't it re-accelerate again?
It wouldn't slow the car down and either I'd have to change lanes and then speed up or it wouldn't wait for the car in front to move out the way and speed
that's
up.
Weird.
Which is what my BMW i5 is. It would glitch and drop the setting. So I would set it to 70... and then it would drop it to 50 or 40. The speed limits on the road wouldn't change. There wouldn't be any road signs.
Wow.
So I think that's a glitch. That annoyed me a bit, though, because I had the music going on.
Basically asleep.
Massage seats, basically asleep. I was oh my God, I'm breaking.
oh my God, I'm about to crash.
I mean, but that is the literal only negative I could come up with. I mean, even last night, I went to this hotel, 7 kilowatt charger, like, shouldn't have done anything that impressive. 100% this morning, ready and raring to go. Bish, bash, boss, super easy. Didn't have to think about it. Plugged it in. Away we go.
What's the range?
It said 260 odd miles this morning. I think officially it quoted at 315 or something like that. Yeah. But I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Absolutely glorious. So yeah, main channel video coming. Couple more days with it. Driving it in London, central London tomorrow. So let's see how I get on with that. But yeah, glorious, glorious.
Well, you won't be able to go in an underground car park. Don't go in an underground car park. You won't get out. You won't get in.
Yeah, I don't think I will get in.
You won't get in.
I actually have to go in one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, good luck.
Yeah, you're not wrong, actually.
Who's got a Spectre on here? There must be someone got a Spectre. Can you go in underground car parks?
No, but it's a very good point, actually, because it's bigger and longer than a Ghost. No, are there Cullinans where I'm going? I think I've seen a Cullinan.
Is it bigger than my truck, do you think?
What's the dimensions of your truck?
No idea.
Okay, let's find out. Let's find out.
Because there's a big old bus, my truck, you know.
What is your truck?
My Amarok.
New one. No.
Tony, brand new.
Tony, what manufacturer makes the Amarok?
You are joking.
No, I'm not. Please just
it's
tell me.
It's a Volkswagen.
Thank you. It's not my world.
Not your world.
I don't buy trucks, mate. But Okay, dimensions.
Yeah.
5,321 millimeters long. So 5.3 meters long.
Yeah.
And 1.9 wide.
Yeah.
So.
Quite big.
Here we go. Rolls-Royce Spectre. Dimensions. Hold on. Dimensions. Oh.
Is it bigger?
It's bigger.
No, no, it's not.
5.4 meters. Almost five and a half. It's okay, so 5,321 millimeters long is your Amarok. The Spectre is 5,475 millimeters long.
A tiny bit longer. Flipping hell.
Not a tiny bit, mate. It's 150 millimeters longer. In car world, that's huge.
Okay.
1,954 millimeters wide. The Spectre is 2,017 millimeters wide.
Wow.
Outrageous, mate.
Yeah. You're going to struggle, mate, because I... So, you know, like no. McDonald's drive-thrus?
Yeah.
Forget about it. Not in that car.
Oh, man.
Because in my truck, I just bump up the curb and smash the things down. you can't do
what,
that.
What, children?
Yeah, well, anything. namely, the papers. Yeah. So I just drive into them.
I'm going to Windrush tomorrow to pick up the Stradale.
No, you won't get in there, mate.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Mate, that is a disaster. What a stupid car.
I genuinely hadn't thought about that. But again, what Rolls-Royce owner is going into an underground car park?
Well, one that don't want his car nicked.
No, because they just, you know.
Valet
or just, no, not even that. They just park outside.
All right, hold on a minute then, right? So you got this beautiful car.
Yeah.
I understand if you've got a great, because you've got a nice big home if you've got a Spectre, right?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
So you've got a lovely big garage or big driveway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you often visit other people that don't have these luxuries.
Absolutely.
Or you go to a hotel, and we all know these hotel, I can tell you a really good, you know, the Fairmont in Monaco?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that
God.
That car park there?
Yeah.
Well, no chance.
But they're not taking it down. They're leaving it outside. It's a Spectre. It's a 400 grand Spectre. It's an electric Rolls Royce. It's going to be right outside the front of the hotel. They're not putting that in the underground car park,
well,
are they?
They ain't got a choice.
No.
Because they ain't getting it down there.
No.
And all of them, like, there's these posh hotels, mate. You're not getting in the car park.
I'm really panicking now. But actually, maybe it's a good test. I might message Rolls Royce just in
can
advance.
Can I scrape the wheels on this car,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, yeah, I'm going into an underground car park. Can you please green light this before I go in?
Do you mind if I write this car off?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm more scared about is the exit from Windrush. Because the entry point I've kind of figured out, I've been down there in various different cars, and I'm like, I feel like I can figure out that. The exit is horrendous.
I'll tell you another one as well. Unbelievably, these nice people with these Spectres, they'll go shopping, take their wives.
Yeah.
They go to Westfield or something.
Yeah.
No chance. You go and park the car. You can't park the car. The space is way too big.
But I feel like I've seen definitely Cullinans in an underground car park.
Yeah, probably. It's bigger than a Cullinan, you said.
No. It's a tiny bit narrower.
You said millimetres makes huge difference. Huge. Massive in the car world.
But it is.
So it's bigger.
No, it's not bigger.
No.
It's narrower.
Narrower.
Yeah, so it's thinner.
Right.
Than a Cullinan.
Right. But longer.
But longer, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, let's move on. Main channel video coming on Sunday. What a thing. I bought a new daily.
Wait.
I know you did.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you? But I know you did.
I bought a new daily.
Are you going to tell the lady? Tell
I am right? Indeed. I bought myself a Porsche Panamera.
That's a lovely car.
I mean, this is
not that blue one.
No.
Oh, thank God.
This is a lovely car. So you all know
car.
I've been going back and forth about this for ages and weighing up different options, and we've spoken about it a bit before. Panamera was one of those cars that I was really keeping a close eye on. I'd found a few different examples that I liked the look of, but I was weighing up loads of other things. And as part of my search, I was on the Porsche approved used site and stumbled across this car. It's a Sport Turismo, so it's the estate version.
Perfect.
Panamera 4 Hybrid.
Lovely.
Because I thought, you know, I've enjoyed the experience with the i5, and that's a bit of both. You know, it's not an amazing all electric range, but it's going to help me with my MPG and things like that. So bish, bash, bosh.
I don't think it will, but okay.
It will.
Okay.
Because the GTS that I was looking at, real world figures seem to be 26 mpg. Real world and the hybrids seem to be about 32, 33.
Okay, so, well, let me know how you get on with that.
Okay, fair enough. Why are you so... Don't be a dick. Why are you so anti a hybrid Panamera?
No, I'm not so anti because I know the real world figures because I run one for a while.
Those are real world figures.
Right.
Because the claimed is like 50, as if.
Okay.
I read two long-term test real world figures.
Right. I don't think the hybrid's any more than anything else. I think if not, it's less. Because the hybrid system's not very good in that car.
No, it's not. It's not supposed to be. They don't claim it to be. Like, it's not like it was. This is 2018. This car.
Yeah,
but
a lovely car though.
The full petrol cars are pretty thirsty, mate.
Of course.
Did you run both?
I've had both of them in
stock.
Did
you run both?
What do you mean?
You can't say I had them in stock. Because this is one of your Tonyisms.
No, it's not.
You just proclaimed. First, that you're
fuming because he's bought a car that's absolutely done a bomb and does about 4 to the gallon.
It does.
Flapping.
It doesn't. But it annoys me because you're poo-pooing on the car with no real justification.
There's real justification.
What was the model that you owned, that you drove for a longer period of time? What was the model?
The hybrid one.
What was it?
Say exactly
the same. Hybrid. The Panamera 4 hybrid.
It was a loan car from Guildford.
For how long did you use it?
4 or 5 days.
Oh, well done you. And then all the other cars you've had in stock, so you've driven about 10 miles.
No, that's not true.
How long have you had? Sometimes, how long have you driven them?
But I've had GTSs and turbos and turbo S's.
And how long have you driven them?
Loads. Oh, that's sometimes done 400 or 500 miles in them.
Well, that's insane.
So you can't really say anything to me.
I can.
No, you can't.
I can. Because
it's no different. You might as well just bought a turbo.
Hold on a sec. From what I've read, and from sources that I trust far more than you,
Samism.
It will be a 5 or 6 MPG difference, and that will be all the world to me.
Okay, so, good. I'm pleased for you.
Happy days.
I can't wait to have this conversation 3 months ago. You know what, mate? You were right. Because this happened quite a lot.
Well, I won't know, though. I won't know, will I? Because I didn't buy the GTS.
Oh, so, that's a shame.
Yeah, I won't know.
Oh, so I've had both. Oh.
No, you haven't. You haven't. You've had them in stock. You haven't lived
Same
with them.
Thing.
You had a 4-day loan where you would have driven it like a twat and burned through all the fuel and go, this is crap. You never would have charged it. You wouldn't have plugged it into a charger once, would you?
Self-charging.
No, mate, but you also can top it up. You can also plug and charge to make sure it's there. Otherwise, if you're self-charging, you're always using fuel to recharge.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's why you're getting bad fuel economy, you poo.
Oh, I'm not plugging it in.
There you go.
I ain't got time for that.
Dickhead. Anyway.
You got to
back
plug
to
it in.
The car that I bought.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued. It's a beautiful car, by the way.
Fully loaded.
Fully.
This is why I got excited. So it's a 4 hybrid, but spec to the tit. Some poor bugger would have paid well over 100 grand for this car back in 2018. Burmester.
Well, no, another poor bugger that's paid too much money for it and all.
You're lying. He's trying to wind me up now. Burmester speakers. You're such a brick. Burmester speakers.
Yeah.
Massage seats.
Lovely speakers.
Pan roof.
Yep.
Air suspension. Porsche inner drive. PDLS plus.
Porsche warranty.
Porsche warranty. 2-year warranty. No, the newer era Panameras aren't as bad. Air suspension is the one I've got to keep an eye on, but it's done good mileage. It's a 33 or 35,000 mile car, so it's been used enough. Good. I was terrified of the ones with, fucking 6,000 miles, because then those are the air suspensions that give up. Got it all checked over, obviously, come through the Porsche system. That was another reason why I thought, okay, got the warranty. It's had its fucking spec. What's called 140 point check over.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight.
Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I got Guildford to look over it as well, because it wasn't actually part of their group, so I couldn't buy it through Guildford.
I bought it from the Porsche Network.
Yeah, Porsche Network.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. So from that point of view, safeguard as I can be buying a four-year-old Panamera. Super excited. It's carmine red at the minute with
lovely color.
Ivory interior. I don't think I'll keep it carmine red.
Right.
I think that's too lairy a color for a daily. I might get it and love it, but I think I'll wrap it.
In what? Black or?
Yeah, dark purple, something like that.
Right.
Something dark. It's a bright red on a Panamera. That's a, whoa! I mean, I am driving a purple Spectre around, but I think that's a bit too lairy.
Not just that, like all your cars are of colour.
Yeah.
Whenever I turn up in a car and it's black or grey, you go, boring.
I didn't say I'd do black or grey. I just said I'd do something a bit more.
Boring.
A bit dark. Yeah, black is boring.
Boring. And then you say like, well, I'm just going to get it in a dark colour. Well, black or grey is dark.
No, no, no. Well, they're unsaturated. I'll get a dark purple.
Unsaturated.
A dark purple. I was actually looking at Etna Blue, which is like a nice sky blue.
Yeah.
Saw a very nice PTS non-Sport Turismo Panamera in Etna Blue, and it looked pretty amazing. But I think dark purple's the route I'm going to go, so I'm going to do that. But I'm super excited. As much as you're trying to poo-poo it. And
no, it's a lovely comment.
You were very nice about it off mic.
I'm very nice about it.
It's just only because you've got the audience to mob you up now.
No,
you're thinking,
no.
Oh, this will be fun. I'll go in on them a bit and wind them up.
I'm telling you the reality. It was a very, very nice car, mate.
£55,000.
I thought we were going to tell him the price.
£55,000.
Told you, been robbed.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I've paid the Porsche premium.
Yeah.
So that was the next Burmester car, because for me, Burmester and massage seats were the tipping point. The next car with those two options, £76,000. If I was to let go,
so you
save
20 grand then?
No, let's not. I'm not a fool. Realistically, I think I paid £5,000 over retail value, but for me, the options were worth the £5,000.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't want to know what it's worth in the trade. I don't care.
No. But a car's only worth what someone was willing to pay for it, mate. So as long as you're happy with it, that's good enough.
I was willing to pay the
premium.
And
it is a lovely car.
It's a lovely car.
Lovely car.
Shall I tell you about my attempt at negotiation? This will make you laugh. This will make you laugh. You'll like this.
Because I know your attempts. It'll be, excuse me,
No. Because what will make you laugh was the dealership's justification for the price.
Because red.
No. Nearly. So I tried to use everything you've told me, taught me over the years. I thought, you know, come on, Sam. I know what's going on here. If that car's listed at 55, it's probably, they would have bought it in at 36. They've got a decent margin in there. God knows how long it's been on the market for. Like, I didn't even want to know. Like, you know, so I was aware. So I said, look.
Well, now they probably give 70 for it. They've probably done their ball bags.
You never know, right? So yeah. I said, look, I'll just be upfront with you. Like, is anything that can be done on the price? I said, yeah, I really like the car. It ticks all my boxes. I'm pretty happy. I don't really need to come and see it. Like, I know what I'm dealing with. I've driven plenty of Panameras. They asked me about 7 times, have you driven a Panamera? Like, quite worried that I was going to drive it and then hand it back. I was like, yeah, I've driven it loads.
Just have a Cayenne.
Yeah. So anyway, we got into the nitty gritty. I got a call from a more senior level because the salesman I'm dealing with, legend. Love him. Yeah, super nice guy. From the minute I called him, absolute hero. It was his day off. I said, okay, someone more senior.
So what would have happened there is it wouldn't have been his day off, by the way. So it had gone, there'd have been the business manager or the sales manager. Oh, it's Jeffrey's day off today. I just thought I'd see how are you getting on and what are your thoughts? Is there anything I can do to help? Is that what they said?
That's what they said.
That's exactly what they do.
To be fair, though.
He's sitting next to him.
The salesperson did say to me the day before, he said, if you are interested in the car, I'm not here tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a plot.
It's all a plot.
Yeah, because they're lining you up for the manager to give you a call.
Oh, fair. Okay, well, the manager gave me a call.
Yeah, of course he did.
Lovely man. Super, super nice man. Yeah, very friendly. And I said, look, I mentioned if there's anything can be done on the price. I had got a quote through Porsche Finance and a quote through Magnitude because I was going to finance it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a 2% difference in interest rates. So Porsche Finance were 11.5, I think.
About right.
The Magnitude quote was 9.5.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, I got a quote through for Magnitude. It's better, so I'm going to go with it. That upset them.
They'd have been fuming, yeah.
They wanted me to go to Porsche Finance. They said, well, you know, there are a few things we could do to help with the with the finance quote.
What were they?
We could amend the balloon given the spec of the car, because it is, like, I know you're winding me up and you're, we're having a bit of a laugh, but it is a very highly specced car.
Okay.
So we could amend the balloon.
Yeah.
Or we could do a £1,000 finance contribution.
Yeah. Because they've got £5,000 finance comps.
Fine.
Probably.
I said, really appreciate it. Unbelievable offers. I'm not fussed about the monthly, I'm fussed about the interest. And for me, I would just rather pay lower interest. Like, there's not much you can do to convince me. And they obviously aren't allowed to change their interest rate. So
they're not technically allowed to change the balloons either, but they must have a...
Oh, interesting. Mm. They said that they're allowed, they said that they could, they didn't say that it would happen. They said that they could go to whoever sets their balloon. So who would that be, an underwriter?
Or the bank.
Or the bank, fine.
Yeah.
And pitch and present the car, get them to reconsider the car with the options.
Yeah, a little bit naughty. They shouldn't be doing that.
Okay. Should I cut that bit out of the...
No, because it goes on, mate. It's not quite correct. But anyway, whatever.
Fine, I better pay for the car before this episode goes out. I said, no, I want to stick with the internet. They're okay, fine. And she said, well, look, leave it with me. Let me see if there's anything that can be done on the price. I think it's priced fairly competitively, but let me go and check, you know, what's going on. So the call came back, said, look, we've had a little look. You know, if you look on the market at other cars with similar specs, and, you know, it's got this option and it's got that option, and, you know, we've already, this went on for a while, and I was thinking, this is not going to end up in a, so we can offer you £2,000 off. Mm. They basically said no. They said the price is the price.
Mm. So that's a shame.
I went, all right.
When you bought it anyway.
Where do I pay my deposit? No. They said, look, we can give you £500 off.
Well, that's right.
I took a bit of sand off.
Oh, right.
I said, fucking fantastic.
Well done.
Where do I send my money? So I have no idea. They might have been, you know, hung up the phone and did a party, did a dance around. We finally saw that red piece of... Anyway.
Yeah, but they would have.
Honestly, my first time dealing with a Porsche dealer outside of Guildford, they were all super friendly, super nice, made me feel like I was having a bit of a premium experience. It's been super straightforward. They dealt with Magnitude. As far as I know, the car's pretty much ready. I think I've got one more piece of paper to sign. Oh, no, we got the tracker up and running, and then the car's ready for collection. I actually can't collect it until we get back from Portugal, but they've been great. So
As long as it's paid for, they won't get there.
Well, fine, but they've been super nice.
Yeah, yeah.
They could have been very standoffish. It's a £50,000 used car. You know, I'm not buying a freaking Turbo S off them. So they could have been a bit dismissive, but they were very nice. I've got a video of it all. So, shout out to them if they are listening. And that car. Well, I'll share some more photos and information around when I collect it, I suppose.
I think you should.
Exciting time. I'm actually buzzing.
Yeah.
I had a momentary flap when I hung up the phone and thought, now I've got to pay for it. I panicked for about half an hour.
Does it every time.
You text me saying, are you flapping? I went, yep. And then after about an hour, I just got really excited. And now I can't wait. And especially after the Spectre experience, I'm like, I can't wait just to have a big, comfortable car. And for everyone who's going to be like, but hold on a sec, Sam, you owned an RS6 and you hated it and complained about it. I'll tell you my justification, which, let's see if it works out like this. What I didn't like about the RS6 was, firstly, the synthetic performance, the synthetic noise, the synthetic, there's so much power here, you've got so much performance. Like, I didn't want performance. That's why I didn't go and buy a Panamera Turbo SE Hybrid or a Panamera GTS. I want a comfortable wafter. I want something that to do the mundane miles in. That's why I wanted massage seats, because I'm 85 years old. That's why I wanted Burmester, because I like to listen to my music on these longer trips. So I just wanted something that just is a workhorse. So whilst it is a Porsche, yes, this is not, I've not gone for the performance model. When it comes to running costs, again, I complained a lot about MPG of the RS6. And whilst Tony's convinced that I'm going to do very poor MPG in my dodgy hybrid.
Similar to the RS6.
No, the RS6 was atrocious, mate. And you know that because
you ran one.
That was so, what annoyed me, is that I was going from sports cars into a sports estate that I just don't need all this.
Yeah, yeah.
While the Panamera that I believe I've bought is a comfort spec, you know, very much a cruiser. Expensive to insure, though. Very expensive to insure, which I think is the hybrid part of it.
Yeah, cost of repair, probably,
It's...
Because it's due to go, the hybrid system, so... Another couple of years, it'd be gone, that hybrid system, so...
What, blow up?
Yeah, get another warranty, make sure you get your warranty.
Well, in 2 years, I'll probably sell it. I'll change my cars every 18 months.
Yeah, well, you'd be fine then.
What, you think it's going to go bang?
Yeah, it just won't work anymore, yeah.
In what way?
Really common on them.
I can see your face. For audio listeners, Tony's smirking because he thinks he can wind me up.
Well, I am. Yeah. Done a great job.
Yeah, it's 500 quid more a month, 500 quid more a year than the Challenge for Dali to ensure.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That's mind you, crazy, you probably said that you did a lot more miles, though, haven't you?
Nope.
You haven't said anything about miles.
6,000 in both.
Right.
That's how it works. Amount of press cars I get, amount of time I'm out of the country, both at 6,000 miles.
Yeah, but you keep your...
To be fair, the Panamera is street, not street, but driveway park.
Yeah.
Ungated driveway park. Should I announce that?
Ready to be stolen.
Don't worry, mate. They'll nick that car. They'll bring it back.
I hate you so much. What's going on in your car life? What's going on in your car world? Oh. Your M3's losing money hand over fist. They're worth about 50 grand now, so you're screwed on that.
At best. At best. Absolute best, but I love it, so that's good enough.
Well, it's the first time ever.
Yeah. But I've always said I love that car.
Your Nissan Amarok is...
Nissan? Ford? Okay. Basically
I thought it was a Volkswagen.
It's a Volkswagen, but it's basically a Ford Ranger.
Oh, fine. Yeah. I was just pretending like I didn't know which...
Well, you don't know, do you? You haven't got a clue.
What happened to your sports car? Where's your GT3?
It's at work.
Doing what?
Just sitting there collecting dust, basically.
And losing money.
Just at a
like
service.
Your M3.
Just at a service.
Right, how was that?
Expensive.
Really?
Let's have a chat about that, actually. I've had a lot of GT cars down the years. Mm-hmm. And it's due its first service, 2 years old, bang on 2 years old. So takes it in. They fixed the window, by the way.
Great, perfect.
For those of you that don't know, I had a little crack in the driver's window where it's a common fault, they don't drop down and then you open the door quickly and then the window smashes.
I think they've done
they've modded it.
Yeah. I think they've done
so it shouldn't happen again.
Yeah, recall update.
Yeah, so anyway, they fixed the window perfectly fine. There was a couple of things I was a little bit annoyed about, actually. One was the cost of the service. Although, when you consider you have to service them every 2 years, it wasn't that expensive.
I'm going
to
take a guess.
Go on.
1,200 quid.
Bang on.
Yeah.
But that's 1,200 quid to me. To punter, it's 1,500 or 1,600 quid. But when you...
Why is it 1,200 quid to you?
Motor Trade discount.
No way.
Of course, yeah, you got discount, yeah.
Oh, can I put my car through you?
If you want, yeah. So, but anyway, but 2 year service. So when you consider like 700 or 800 quid a year, because every 2 years. So it's not
yeah, fine, but still
too bad. But Ferrari's free.
Yeah.
Lamborghini's free now. And even McLaren's got service plans on their cars now. Mm. So it's a little bit spiteful. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind the previous cars were 600 quid. So my previous GT cars, they were 600 quid for their first service. Don't forget, they only drop the oil and do brake fluid checkover. They do nothing on the first service.
Yeah.
One thing that really annoyed me when I picked the car up, not detrimental to the Porsche deal or anything that anyone that done, I didn't even know this, but they said, there's some condensation in the rear light. We've put it on as keep an eye on it. But I didn't even notice. So when I got back to work, I didn't check it. When I got back to work, my mechanic lad said, have you seen the water in the rear of the light of the Porsche? I said, no. I goes around the back. It's like full of water.
You're joking.
No, they should have replaced it under the warranty. So now it's going to go back. I'm going to say, oh, guys, this ain't good enough.
Yeah, you got condensation.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's flooded.
Yes, but you get condensation in lights, obviously, because of the heat from the inside. And if it's cold outside, all cars get condensation on headlights. But it's less common on rear lights. This is the rear lights.
Yeah, tail light.
Tail lights, yeah. Well done. But it's like... bad.
Yeah.
So, but why didn't you just replace it? Why have you said to me, oh, keep an eye on it? I know why they probably said it. This is not the dealer. This will be the manufacturer. This will be. Mm. Because in a year's time, it runs out of warranty.
Yeah.
And then they expect the poor punter to, and they ain't got to pay it.
Yeah,
it's out of order. So it's going back there. They're going to put some lights in it.
Well done.
Yeah. It's fuming, I was.
You ever going to drive it?
Yeah. It's going in a minute. It's going to Germany. I'm going to leave it there.
To be fair, you're not an out-of-season sports car driver.
I'm not interested, mate.
No.
I literally have no interest. I've literally not driven that car since we come back from...
Austria,
yeah.
And it's been a long, cold weather season. Like, you know, still wet and cold, and it's April.
Yeah, I just have absolutely no interest in driving sports cars in this country anymore. No interest at all. It's awful.
So it's going to go to Germany, like you said before. It's going to be based at the Nürburgring. And then you're just going to
keep
go
it there for a few months.
Fine.
And then bring it back in the winter again.
Winter, okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, Okay, no plans, anything else? You're not eyeing up anything else? Nothing else catching your fancy?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Or should I say? Yeah, I probably should say.
Go on, let's do it.
So, someone offered me a 4RS list.
Oh, no.
I've not said yes because they are basically list online now. So, it's up at my spec, June, July delivery, spec to me. I can spec it. Brand new car. But it come out, I spec'd it with all the bits on it.
Mm-hmm.
Not magnesium wheels, complete waste of money. But apart from that, I put everything on it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a PTS colour, but like I've done Gentian blue.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah. Come out at 155 plus on the road. Literally, you could buy 24 plate cars with delivery mileage at that money.
Yeah.
Online.
So
funny that car, isn't it? Because it was 100 grand over list last year, that car.
And do we see them coming back?
Coming back where?
Up.
I don't think they go back up. I mean, there's too many of them. Because they said that there's not going to be many of them. There bloody is. There's millions of them. And they're still delivering them now.
The fact that you're getting a slot for June, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, June or July. They're still. I thought they'd stop making them, but they're still coming. Same with the
Spider RS.
Spider RS.
That's a good car.
There's a lot of them online, by the way.
How much are they? Are they still overs though?
Yeah, people are asking 220 for them. They give their head a wobble.
That's insane.
Yeah, they'll be back down at list in a minute. But like we've said so many times before, I'm just really intrigued by that car, and I've driven one. We've both driven one.
Mm.
I don't know, mate. Like sometimes I just get a bee in my bonnet and I need to tick it. It's like the Black Series. I will have a Black Series at some point. I think I'm probably safer in a Black Series than I am in a...
Well, absolutely.
They've been fairly... They've sort of leveled off a bit, them cars now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what a 4RS will do because obviously it is an RS product. You know, history would suggest that if it does dip, it will strengthen back up. It's a unique kind of thing. We're not expecting to see it again because as far as we know, the Cayman Boxster platform's going electric. So there's all the sort of things on paper that suggest that car inherently should level off. The depreciation should slow down or potentially even creep back up and become an appreciating car. But it's hard to know at what point and when. But maybe suck it up. Maybe just cars depreciate, mate. Just go and have the experience and suck it up.
But that's what I thought. I said, well, I'll just buy it anyway. And then what am I going to do with it? I don't drive my GT3.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have two of a very similar car. And actually, if I had the choice between the two, I'd go in the GT3 anyway.
Well,
so what's the point?
There you go. I think it's only worth swapping for an alternative experience.
I wouldn't swap it.
And you wouldn't swap.
No, I wouldn't swap it. Because I'm buying a worse car. What would I swap it for?
Yeah. There's going to be so many people in the comments going...
It's the best car in the world. What are you talking about?
It's miles better than the GT3.
Of course it is.
Experience the front end of a 992 GT3 and you will not say the same thing.
And then I keep looking at RSs as well, three RSs, because they're like, any minute now, they're going to be 299 retail, which means about 40 over, 50 over. Well, you think they'll be like, for a punter, they'll be fairly okay at that money. Because when you look at previous RS cars, just look what they do.
Three RS.
Any RS cars.
Okay.
They especially the modern ones, they find their space and then they sort of sit still. Like the Gen 1 RS is sort of anything between 130 and 150, the 911. And then the one that I had, like 170, 180, and then the Vizac cars are like 200-ish, which I think are, I mean, there's no point buying them, just buy we've got because you're buying a worse car, basically. Yeah, yeah. What you're paying for? You're paying for the wing, basically. So, but they always find their feet.
So do you think the 4S hasn't found its feet yet?
It definitely hasn't found its
feet
yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's got a bit more to fall, and then it'll probably like hover again. Because these cars, they do genuinely like sit a bit above list, even like the Gen 1 GT3.
Yeah.
Retail, they're still like list-ish.
Yeah.
So, but you just need to wait for them to stop making them and then wait a bit longer and let them readjust.
And then
they find their feet.
Yeah. But the 3RS tickles your fancy a little bit, does it?
Yeah, but not at that money though, mate. It's the same with the Black Series. Like, I just don't need them in my life anymore. This is the problem. Like, I'm done with it.
You need a Spectre.
What I need, do you know what I need?
Go on.
I need a 500-mile electric Range Rover. That's what I need. Off you go, Land Rover. That's what
well,
I need.
Well, you know what?
That's perfect.
But the one that I'm very interested by is the Macan, the electric Macan. Yeah. I know it's ugly as dishwater, but...
It's going to be spiteful though, mate.
What do you mean?
It's going to be like 100 grand.
How much do you think an electric Range Rover is going to be?
Well, but that's fine. It's going to be like 150.
Why is that fine?
Because a Range Rover isn't a Macan. Range Rover is much better than a Macan, mate.
I think it'll be more than 150. An electric Range Rover will be closer to 200, I would expect. Yeah. Look at their pricing strategy. Range Rover, Land Rover pricing strategy over the last couple of years. It's going to be extortionate. It's going to be extortionate. And we've seen it. All the big Larry EVs have huge price tags.
Well, they're going to come off, though. They'll come back that, you know.
Because eventually.
Yeah,
but for now, if you want 500-mile range, that's going to have a big price tag attached to it.
Yeah.
Because what's the... Teslas are, what, creeping up towards 400? That's as good as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, actually, while we're talking about Tesla, what made me think, what about these Fiskars? What are they doing? Them, have you seen them Fisker...
Fisker Oceans?
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, they keep breaking and absolutely bombing in money. I mean, we saw a couple of them, didn't we, in America? What did we see in America?
No, we saw Lucids.
Lucids,
and
sorry.
Rivians.
That's it. I was getting confused.
Fisker, I think, is a bit of a all-round disaster, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is what I keep seeing. And there's a right-hand drive. I was offered one the other day.
A Fisker?
Yeah, right-hand drive Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've launched them in Europe and in the UK. I got
73
invited,
play was.
I got invited down to the press launch. And yeah. They were very keen for me to be there. But listening to Johnny Lieberman over on Spike's Car Radio,
yeah,
he's just sort of outlined that it's all just a bit of chaos and he thinks they're going to go out of business. And
apparently they're doing half money off in America, yeah, and all that. Like they're 80 grand, they're selling them for like 40 and all that like.
Well, talking about companies that... But also, mate, you're talking about it like... Can you believe Fisker? Like, mate, who?
But, yeah, I know, but I guess, but it just like surprised me a bit because I thought that they should be like, they're supposed to compete with Tesla, no?
Yeah, but mate, it's like their second ever car. And their first car was like a weird sports coupe that only Justin Bieber
bought.
Yeah,
what was that? Was it the Fisker Karma or something? Was that right?
Literally, Justin Bieber was like the only customer. You're talking about it like, you know, I would give... so many other companies more credibility than Fisker, and you're coming at me like, mate, did you hear about Fisker?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you realized and you who knew who Fisker were. Let's talk about Lotus.
Oh, they've lost a load of money.
That's far worse.
Who told you that?
This is a big news report.
Big news report. 590 odd million
in the bin.
Made a load more cars. Made himself load. Become busy fools.
Are they in big trouble?
Huge.
Yeah, I think so too.
There will be, yeah.
Do you see any Electras anywhere? Nope.
No. They've got some money behind them, though.
But they did have some money behind them. If I was Geely, I'd be freaking having a wobble on now.
Well, they probably are having a wobble on.
Because they've done a whole restructuring, whole way thing. We're going to go electric. Probably actually really misunderstood what the brand was and about and who that audience was. They've tried to sell an electric SUV to an audience that only care about sports cars, small, lightweight sports cars. So no one's bought them, even though it's a fantastic product. And yeah, I mean, it just looks like even more of a disaster than it was.
Yeah.
And how would you save that? What do you come out with now to pull that back?
Combustion cars.
Well, no, but you've already said you're not doing that. You've already said that the...
I think it's not a thing, mate. And we said it. We said this a couple of years ago. Like, you're competing with the big boys now.
Mm.
As in, you know, proper cars, Porsches,
mm-hmm.
BMW, big, proper powerhouse brands, and you're trying to come in, you're going to try and nick some of their customers with what the market interprets as a inferior product. It's not a thing.
Well, the point that is being proven, you're right. I mean, the electric SUV, and then of course they've got that saloon coming as well. Those are fantastic products. Like
Take and Rival,
and then the big SUV. I will stand by every day of the week that I think those are fantastic products.
Why not buy them then?
Yeah, they're obviously not, because the branding's wrong. Who's going to buy a Lotus electric SUV?
Mm.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
So no one's even contemplating it, and it's got a over £100,000 price tag.
Mm.
So it just doesn't add up.
Mm.
In a world where you're trying to convince people to step away from combustion engine vehicles, you're not going to go buy an electric Lotus, are you?
Mm-mm.
And then the other point that's being proven, which we've long known for a while, but it's hard to swallow as car enthusiasts, as petrol heads, is that actually people don't want two-seater sports cars anymore.
No.
You know, look at the Amira. It's a fantastic bit of kit, a really great car, but people are buying Caymans or F-types or more comfortable, usable, tech-loaded, accessible. So as brilliant as that Amira is and as much as that hype, remember that good we went to when you couldn't get on the Lotus stand because of the Amira hype? And I just see them constantly on up for sale. It's so rare that you meet someone who's like regularly using an Amira and has had it for a couple of years and absolutely adores it. Ever seems to have them for 6 months and then kind of move on, because we know and we get told and we see, and you definitely see in your business, everyone wants practicality, comfort, tech, wireless Apple CarPlay, all of these things, and then yes, a bit of performance, but actually accessible.
And a bit of premium, by the way.
And a bit of premium.
Premium brand, a proper brand.
And whilst, you know, that car's brilliant to drive, it doesn't live up to the Europeans or the other rivals.
Too enthusiast.
In that category, yeah.
Literally too enthusiast.
Yeah, it's too specialist, too. Yeah, yeah. Which is such a shame. And it's like the Alpine. Same thing as the Alpine.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from France, no one bought the A110.
Yeah.
Because this is too compromised. Yeah. So we can all sit here banging the drum saying that we dream of those cars, but actually no one goes out and buys them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do. I really worry about Lotus. I really worry about Lotus. I don't know what that future looks like for them. But
yeah, I couldn't tell. I mean, it's not good. They can't keep doing that.
No. Anyway, that brings an end to this week's episode. We are off to Portugal next week. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Get rid of this weather. It's pouring a rain outside and we're going in the sunshine.
Shall we check if it's actually sunny?
Well, you know, it was 27 degrees when I checked.
You did? Okay.
I checked the other day.
Because last week it was pouring with rain.
No, that'd be fine.
Mate.
27.
I've not been having a good time with the rain recently. So just a reminder, next week's episode will be with you late. So if you're listening to us and you enjoy our episodes on a Tuesday or a Wednesday via Spotify or Apple Podcast, hold tight. And if you watch us on YouTube and you expect the episodes on Thursday lunchtime, again, hold tight. We will get you the episode as quickly as we can, but it will be a little bit delayed. So stay subscribed, stay following us on whatever platforms you do. Keep an eye out on the Behind the Glass Instagram, which is behindtheglass_podcast, or Behind the Glass on TikTok. We're on the TikTok. And you can, of course, follow us on social media. Tony's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass. And we'll be back with you from Portugal from the first BTG tour next week.
Lovely.
Bye-bye.
See ya.